So 10 months ago, I got stuck for the first time in 18 years of leading worship. And I had to sit here. I got to sit here. Not had to. Got's a better word. And share some thoughts with you. Guess what I get to do today, just 10 months later? I guess I have a choice. I could dismiss you. Right? Legit. We've had worship. The Lord's met with us. But I thought it fitting this morning as I got the call from Pastor Ben that he was going to be ill. I thought of calling Jay. I think that seemed a little inconvenient. He's probably got plans today. But it's an advantage of having him here. Harrison's been here less than a month. We couldn't throw him under the bus. But the Lord has been working on my life in the last few weeks. Pastor Ben has had a couple of sermon series. We just started Hey Neighbor. All right, now this thing shifted. Hey Neighbor. He's asked us some questions in the sermon series leading up to this. He asked us these questions. Where am I at on my journey with Christ? Where am I at in my journey with Christ, right? Remember that question? How many remember it? Raise your hands. This is going to be interactive. All right. You're all going back. We will send the link out this week and you'll watch that video. But where are you at on your journey with Christ? Life's a journey. It's not a road trip, it's a journey. Things are going to happen, adventures, different things. But life's a journey, and where are you at on your journey? He also asked us, am I ready to go the second mile? Right? Remember that sermon where he challenged us. You do something to help someone out. What have you done to go that second mile? Last week we got asked two super important questions. Have I missed out on being a neighbor is one of those. And why? Why'd you miss out? And then he asked us a second question. And he said, won't you be my neighbor? And that was posed for us as we're in the community and we're reaching out to people. He asked us those questions for very specific reasons. As I've gone through life the last few weeks, I've consciously had to work on this. Too often I played church. I came in, I listened, I got what I needed to out of it, and I made a mental note, and I went on. But the last several series, I've been trying to just consciously make sure I didn't forget what he asked me and challenged me with. I've tried to step up to the challenges. Last Sunday after church, Peg and I had a busy afternoon getting a bunch of stuff done. Her brother and sister-in-law came into town, and Monday morning, we left on vacation. We headed to St. Louis. We went really far. We went down to St. Louis. Had an Airbnb, spent the week down there doing things. I've done some things in St. Louis, and my brother and sister-in-law had, but they wanted to do some things that they hadn't done. So we found some different things and did them around St. Louis. And there's a little house restaurant down there called Tucker's on Sollard. And I may not have pronounced it right, so if you're from St. Louis, my apologies. But it's a house that's been retrofit into a restaurant, and we sat upstairs and we had dinner, and I wanted to treat my brother and sister-in-law. I expect pretty good service when I go into a restaurant. You know, that's just how I am. I've worked in restaurants, I understand the hard work they put into it, but I want them to do their job too. We had a great server, we had an enjoyable evening. At the end of the night, what do? You make sure that you reward their work well done, and so we provided a tip. Here's what caught my attention the other night. There was a server's assistant, I think is the technically, politically correct term, but I'll say a busboy. Bus person, because it could be guys or gals. And he was running around filling drinks, getting bread, bussing tables, wiping things down, checking on tables behind the server, truly assisting them. That was above and beyond, right? He was going the extra mile in customer service for us. So at the end of the night, I asked Peg, I said, hey, do you have any cash? I don't carry cash anymore. She doesn't give me much allowance. I said, hey. So she gave me some cash, and I asked the server to send him over because we had, you know, we'd gotten the check, and when he sees the check, that's kind of his time to check out and move on to others. And so she went, and she found him, and she sent him back to us. And I looked him in the eye, and I said, thank you for your efforts tonight. You made tonight extremely enjoyable. And I tipped him. And afterwards, as I was reflecting on that, I went the extra mile. But what I probably should have done was, how could have I gone the second mile? How could have I made that where someone else gave him the tip maybe that wasn't paying. Maybe somebody, how could I extend that to another table to encourage and do things? What else could have I done for the second mile? And I don't have a good answer for it, folks. I remind you, I'm not a pastor, I'm not a theologian. I'm a human walking this life of life, this journey of life, and I'm trying to figure that out. So what I want to encourage you today with is that I know that the kingdom wasn't negatively impacted by my actions the other night. In fact, I'm sure that there was a certain amount that they were pleased that I saw the other things and I did that. And I'm not looking for reward. I wanted Christ to be seen through me to that other young man that was working and going above and beyond for our sake and our enjoyment of an evening. A moment ago, I shared the four questions that Pastor Ben had posed to us. I frequently have thrown these questions back out to the worship team through text, through Facebook, just asking them. And I don't really do it for their benefit. I do it for mine. It helps me think through what I can do. And as I've been looking at different scriptures, this scripture has been on my mind, and I decided in a quick moment this morning to just look at this piece of scripture from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. And it says, and I don't have slides, I didn't have that much time today, so I'm just going to read it to you. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all of this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him, and you're filled with an impressive, inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. In that scripture, Peter uses the phrase new birth that provides our living hope in Jesus Christ, affirming that salvation is a gift from God. Much like a newborn infant, it's just a gift. Life is a gift. They do nothing. It just happens. And they are blessed with the gift of life. In the same way, when you look to Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I'm a sinner, forgive my sins, you get new life. You did nothing more than just say, Lord, I'm a sinner. And he does the rest. And that's the living hope. It's a different hope. I didn't do a lot of studying in college. Because I'm 30 years removed from that, I can admit it. I got through World Lit and didn't read one page of the 6,000 pages assigned. I walked in and I said, I hope it's a good test. Because I was a scientist and I could take a test with the test itself and not have actually studied anything. I know it's a rare, unusual, goofy gift, but it got me through. I got a B minus. And that was because I did so well on the final. In fact, on the final, the professor called me and said, did you have a copy of the test and be honest with me? I said, no. I said, your multiple choice questions answered to true, false. I built from both of those and wrote the essays. It was perfect. You wrote a really good test for me. And I got a B plus and pulled my grade up to a B minus. It was great. But I walked into that class hoping to do well. That's not the kind of hope I'm talking about that we have in Jesus Christ. We don't just hope he shows up when we need him. When you live in Jesus Christ and you're praying and you're spending time with him and you're focusing on him and you're putting him in the forefront, it's an eager, confident expectation. That's the hope you have in Jesus Christ, right? You're expecting Jesus to step in. When there's a medical situation we're lifting up in prayer, we're praying expecting the Lord to use that situation. There's an expectation there that we have, and we want to build on that. In Peter, he was preaching to people who were Christians, but they were suffering. And he was preaching to them about this living hope and to stay firm in their living hope in Jesus Christ. Their future was secure because they had living hope. They didn't have the flighty hope that we've talked about. They had a living hope in Jesus Christ. In verse 4, it talks about the object of that living hope a little bit. It says it can never perish, never spoil or fade. Jesus Christ, folks, never spoils, he never fades, he never crumbles. What fades is our focus, right? You're sitting in a meeting at work too long, you pick up your phone, you start doing other things. It's because your focus faded from the importance of that meeting or the topic of that meeting, because it may very well be an unimportant meeting, but there's a topic. But your focus fades. You ever sit blindly staring at something? I remember as a kid, we had an old cabinet stereo. It was probably started at that speaker and probably came to here. It took up most of one wall. It had the record player on one end, the big radio with all the buttons and the turn dial in the middle and the speakers on the front. And it had these wooden slats that were all vertical, went up and down. And I found when I was sitting on the couch, if I got too mesmerized by that, those slats started moving. Right? They start dancing. You look at something, you see these now on Facebook, different images. If you stare at it long enough, something will pop up. Well, when you do that, you lose focus on what's around. You get so caught up in the moment of what's going on in your life. Maybe it was health news you just got that was not as positive as you'd wanted. Maybe it was something related to work and some news you got. Maybe it was a friend that's got a situation that rose up and it's negative news. If you get too focused on that and you forget about that hope you have in Jesus Christ, you're going to get tunnel vision and lose sight of that. But if you step back and give it the living hope we have in Jesus Christ, what can happen? Miracles. Miracles can happen at that moment, in that time, in that place, because your focus is on Him, not on the things of this world. The other night when I gave a tip to that young man, it was with one purpose. I don't know that he needed the money. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. I gave a tip to be obedient because the Lord had nudged me to encourage this guy. That's why I gave the tip. You can ask Peg. I didn't ask if we could afford it. I just wanted to be obedient. And that's what we need to do. We need to follow Christ in the living hope with an eager expectation that he's going to do something with us in that moment. If we loop back to, hey, neighbor, it was me taking a toddler over the fence yesterday because he was so excited to see the lawnmower and he wanted to just check it out. And as soon as it shut off, he wasn't paying attention. As soon as I started the mower, he was excited. And I just showed love to this little guy and his dad. Didn't matter what else was going on. It didn't matter if it took me a lot longer to mow the grass. It was about connecting with that person who was in the proximity of where I was at and had become my neighbor. That's what I'm doing in life right now. I don't know if I'm doing it right. I don't know if I'm wrong. Here's what I know. If I feel the Lord's nudge to do something, I'm trying to be obedient. I'm trying to be that neighbor. I'm trying to focus on the living hope and share my love of Christ just by being kind to the person next to me. And I know that in the next couple of weeks, you're going to get a lot deeper drive into this concept of being a neighbor by somebody that's trained a little better, has dug a little deeper into the scriptures and prepared a little longer than I have. But I challenge you this week as we go out to be the neighbor. In 2018, Phil Wickham wrote a song. I would classify this, okay? I'm going to go on. I'm not going to try to get on a soapbox, but as the worship leader, a lot of people tell me what I should sing and what I shouldn't sing. Here's what I sing. I sing what the Lord wants us to sing, and I pray about it. And if it's an old hymn from 1882 or it's a new song from 2018, I'm going to do it because the Lord's led. From my perspective, He's led me there. And you have hymns, you have 90s worship choruses, you have modern worship. That's how a lot of people classify music. To me, it's just music. And in 2018, Phil Wickham wrote what I would now classify with a hymn. And I know some people may have a problem with that, but that's just my perspective, like it or not. It's just my perspective. But I think it's a hymn because of the depth of how the words come together. Phil Wickham was interviewed about the song that he wrote. It's called Living Hope. He said, last year, Brian Johnson was with Bethel Music, but he says, Brian Johnson and I started writing a song over text messages. They started texting each other. Over the course of a month or so, they threw lyrics and voice memos back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. The result of all of those messages, they'd be going back and forth. And when they'd get a line for the song, they just felt like it was a victory. And they'd write it down. And then they'd start bouncing things back and forth. And with the next line and the next line, each small victory began to mount and build into this song. The result of all of those text messages was living hope. Phil says, I remember both of us feeling that something special had been given to us. After we finally landed on the third verse again, all through the text messages, there was a long pause. Phil Wickham says, I saw on my phone those three little dots that come up when you know someone's typing a response to a text message. I continued to wait. And then words popped up, and Brian simply said that this is amazing. Brian went on to share in the text message, God has rescued us from a place that we could never have been rescued from by ourselves. Our future was death, but Jesus Christ came in and brought life. He brought a living hope into our souls and into our lives. Amen? I've asked the worship team to come back up at this time. But friends, the believers have a living hope. That hope is solid. It's secure. It's Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 6, verses 19 to 20, we read, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where our forerunner Jesus has already entered on our behalf. When I read that, it's like a game. You've got to go in, but Jesus has gone in ahead of you and already paved the way. We have a living hope in Him. As we close this morning and draw to a close, I want to ask you these questions. Where are you at in your journey with Jesus Christ? Where are you at? You going through the motions, or are you firmly locked and planted with that living hope? So that when you encounter things in life, at work, at the grocery store, driving around town when someone cuts you off, are you expressing the love of Jesus Christ because of the living hope you have inside you? Where are you at on your journey with Christ? Are you ready to share that hope? Number two, am I ready to go the second mile? Where are those opportunities since Pastor Ben had that message? Where have you had that opportunity, and did you go the second mile? If you didn't, why? This is for you and God, don't tell me. Why didn't you go that second mile? What held you up from going that second mile? Pray about that, because that opportunity, I'll tell you folks, God's got a great sense of humor. It's coming again. You're going to get another opportunity, and you're going to want to say yes to Christ and go that second mile. And then when He runs the next person by you, you're going to step and take that second mile again. Question three, have I missed out on being a neighbor? Where did I miss that opportunity? Where was someone that was hurting or needed a friend or needed something? Where did they indicate to you and you realized, I missed it? If you know who it is, good news. You can go back and still be that neighbor. Bottom line, if you say, I missed it here, I missed it there, recognize that you missed it. It's okay. We're human. we're not always going to do everything right. But God can help us for the next time and prepare us so we don't miss it. Accept that miss for now. But look for opportunities to learn from that and not miss it next time. Won't you be my neighbor? It was the fourth question he posed to us. Where are we at? We want to be inviting. We want to be living our life out like Jesus Christ. We want that living hope to be kind to them. At some point, they're going to ask you the question, and we need to be prepared as neighbors now to share our life story of a living hope we have in Jesus Christ. Amen. Would you stand as we worship through living hope?